all the boys, of all the boys, boys, of all the boys, 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 of all the boys, of all the boys I've known, and I've known some. First met you was lonesome. Came inside of my heart, grew like the world was new to me. You're swell, I'll admit you deserve expressions that fit you. Rack my brain hoping to explain things you do to me. By mere vista shame, please let me explain. By mere vista.
And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. She had a double handy washbone and an untrained voice. He had a thing for the piano style of Fats Waller and a passion for band leading. They both adored traditional hot jazz. So when Elizabeth Bougeral and Evan Palazzo answered the same Craigslist ad for an open jazz jam in New York City, it's easy to believe it was fate. They hit it off, and as the piano washboard duo moved from playing for their own enjoyment to open mic nights, they found kindred souls, and in time, two became eight, and the Hot Sardines were born. The group is currently on tour, and they'll be finding their way here to Kansas City tomorrow night at 8 as part of the Folly Theater's jazz series. Joining us now from the road in Iowa, literally they're on the bus, folks, are the two who started it all, Ms. Elizabeth and Bibbs Palazzo. And Ms. Elizabeth, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Bibbs Palazzo, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Great to be here. Good morning.
Well, see, that's another thing to like about jazz, the cool nicknames. Miss Eliz, is it too hard to understand? It isn't too hard to understand, but Bibbs, help me out there. Evan, where did that come from?
it's a humorous story, actually. Being on the road a lot and wearing our nice suits for our shows, you have to eat dinner quickly, and I keep a barber's cape in the vehicle that we're in, and put that on so I don't must myself, and hence the nickname, Bibbs.
I want to stick with the names for a moment because it's not every band that has such an unusual percussionist. Miss Elizabeth, tell us about Fast Eddie Francisco. Who is he?
Fast Eddie is a young gentleman who was sent our way by a friend of Evan's, but really kind of by the universe, because he just had a passion for the same music that Evan and I were geeking out about when we first met, except he expressed that passion with his feet. He's a fantastic tap dancer, and he joins us on stage every night as a member of the rhythm section. And he improvises tap routines, but he's both, you know, he's both sound and visual, and it's so much fun because I really don't think there's enough tap dancing in the world, so it's great to be able to work that in.
Well, let's get some of that sound. Let's hear a sample of his tap stylings. This is Fast Eddie in a duet with the clarinet. Okay. And there's another Evan in the group, your bass and sousaphone player. To keep the confusion low, what's his handle, Evan?
Sugar Crane, his last name being Evan Crane. We call him Sugar Crane, which is Sugar Cane, obviously, which is a kind of subtle tip of the hat to one of our favorite movies, Some Like It Hot. Marilyn Monroe's character was named Sugar Cane.
Huh. But it takes, you know, more than a cool moniker to be a jazz musician. So tell our listeners, Miss Eliz, who the rest of the Hot Sardines are.
Well, we have we're an eight piece, and we have obviously the full rhythm section with Evan on piano and Evan Sugar Crane on bass and Alex Raderman on the drums, rounded out by Fast Eddie, who we were just telling you about. And over on the horn side, we have a trumpet, a cornet, and reeds, clarinet, saxophone, led by Jason Prover, who was one of the first musicians to that we found, one of the first horn players we found, and really loved the sound of, and started playing with him, and I think that rounds it out. Yeah, that's eight people in total.
Well, the Hot Sardines play the Folly Theater tomorrow night at 8. More information is available at follytheater.org. Evan, where are you guys right now exactly?
Well, we are about 60 miles from Decorah, and we will be playing there tonight and then heading your way. We're literally on the side of the road, a beautiful view of fields in our tour bus.
Help us out, though. We're going to so many places we've never been to before. It's Decorah, right?
Decorah, Iowa. You bet.
Decorah, Iowa. There you go.
There you go.
It's hard to keep pronunciation all over the place.
It's hard to keep it straight sometimes, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Ms.
Elizabeth, this is many of our first times to this part of the country, so we're very excited.
It's true. It's really fun because actually, since we started touring, we've been to a lot of the home regions of our players. So we kicked things off in October. We were in Washington State near our Reed player Nick Myers' hometown of Pullman, and then I believe a little later this season will be where our cornet player Mike Saylors grew up in North Carolina. So it's really cool that everyone kind of gets to connect with their hometown crowds. It's really nice.
Huh. Well, Miss Liz, the story of how this band came together is pretty captivating, but how it got its big break sounds almost like a fairy tale. Bastille Day was coming up, and I'll let you take the story from there.
Yeah, we'd been playing around New York City a little bit at parties mostly, and we had a couple regular gigs at restaurants and so on. But I opened an email one day and read that there was a gig coming up on Bastille Day that needed a band that had any kind of sort of French influence. And on a lark, I sent them our stuff, our press kit, and we found out that what the gig was at Lincoln Center, part of their Midsummer Night Swing program, which is this fantastic part of Lincoln Center's public program in New York City, where they have these outdoor concerts, big dance floor, it attracts thousands of people, and they had a last minute cancellation for Bastille Day, and they were crazy enough to give us the gig, so that really was a bit of a turning point for us. We got some attention that we hadn't before, and it was really exciting.
Huh. Well, how did it feel, Evan, to go from, you know, small venues and free gigs to Lincoln Center?
It was crazy pants. Is what it was.
But the funny thing is the natural fear of jumping into a venue that prestigious and with that large of an audience. I think we had nearly 7,000 people that first show we did for them. Went away, which was when we started performing, which was a lot of fun to experience. Is that while we were playing for at most, 50 or 100 people at these parties we would do, these underground speakeasies, we just did our thing, and the crowd came right along with us. And it was one of those, you say fairy tale, it's true. It was one of those shows that afterwards we were just on cloud nine because we felt it went very well, and so did they, because they had us back, and we did that same show this past summer.
That's right. We were back at Lincoln Center this past summer, wow, which was great.
Well, I was going to say, since then, the Hot Sardines gigs have included, get this, the London Jazz Festival, where a second sold-out show had to be added, and Boston Symphony Hall with an 81-piece group called the Boston Pops backing you up. And then you got to tour the Midwest in the dead of winter. It all maybe seems a little surreal at times, Evan.
It does seem surreal, but it's truly a dream come true, and we know how lucky we are to get to do what we love for a living, and we're just enjoying it. It's every day is a new adventure.
Huh. Well, let's play a little more music from the Hot Sardines. This track is titled Let's Go. It's from their debut album.
A ticket out of Brownsville. I see us by a lake in a cabin, just so happens to come with a boat for two. We'll paddle ourselves a rendezvous.
you guys co-wrote that song, didn't you?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Evan wrote the music and I wrote the lyrics.
And did it come off pretty easily, or how did it work?
Evan,
I think you wrote the melody, and then you just sent me over an iPhone recording. iPhones, man,
right.
They make everything so much easier. And and I remember listening to the melody, and we were on an airplane, and I remember writing those lyrics on an airplane cocktail napkin.
Well, that's a good place to write them. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Ms. Elizabeth, let's talk hot jazz, your musical base. I think a lot of people know it when they hear it. I think we just heard some of it, but can you describe it for us?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of our influences are seated in what people kind of think of as hot jazz, which is the sort of, you know, upbeat, really syncopated stuff from the 20s and 30s. That you associate with like Bix Beiderbecke,
right,
or early Louis Armstrong, this type of thing. But really our influences are pretty much the first half of the last century of not just jazz, but popular song in general. I mean, we got everything from like last night at the show in Des Moines, we closed with a tune from the early 1900s called Bill Bailey, Won't You Please Come Home. And that's been covered, you know, that was played fairly up when it was first written. And then, you know, there's a fantastic version by Ella Fitzgerald that's really kind of mid-tempo and swingy. So all of these people who were making all of this music at that time, a lot of these same songs were being covered, and everyone was applying their own style to them. And it's how kind of, you know, the canon of jazz as we know it, that's what really makes it up, is lots of people tackling different songs, but with their own style and their own kind of musical lens.
Evan, for you, your love for this music came from where in your life?
Oh, well, when I was very little, I was exposed to the music of Louis Armstrong and Fats Waller and all the great early jazz artists. So it was my formative experience with music was with this. And I grew up, you know, trying to learn the piano and teaching myself how to play in that style. And it's just always been a part of my soul. I really find it brings pure joy. And that's what we hope to bring to our audiences. And, you know, the song you played, Let's Go, I would put more in a more of a swing vibe. And then, you know, a song like Elizabeth mentioned, like Bill Bailey, that's definitely got a New Orleans,
yeah,
sort of feel. We like to mix all that together, as she was saying, and
yeah,
it's sort of our tastes in jazz in a nice big salad of fun, we hope.
And Elizabeth, for you, this music came from where in your life, your love for it?
I mean, really the same as Evan.
My
parents were never into playing sort of kids' records at home. They just couldn't deal with it. So they played me everyone from Ray Charles to Fats Waller to James Brown. I just soaked it all up. I soaked it all up. It was great. It made me incredibly uncool at school.
Yes, we have that in common, too.
I bet.
That's right.
Well, every article and review we found on the Hot Sardines remarks on your approach to the songs that you guys perform. A review in AXS described it like this: picture wartime Paris by way of New Orleans, but here and now, with big brass and overlaid rhythms called recalling Louis Armstrong and Django Reinhardt, funky Fats Waller stride piano, a lot of swooning Dixieland, that voice of Ms. Elizabeth's, time out of mind, welcoming and impudent at once, and tap dancing on the bar. Evan, that sounds pretty accurate.
Well, that was a very nice piece someone wrote, and that's what we do hope for. I mean, we are in 2015, and we are conscious of that. And we want to bring this music to people today, not in a reproductive way. How we're feeling in the moment, how we're feeling in that particular show with that audience is a huge part of how we play each of these songs. So you get a kind of maybe a little bit of a different take on them each night with that, which is a tradition within jazz, is to keep the form loose and run with it, essentially.
That's really part of the fun, too.
Well, a lot of the fun, too, is for the audience, people who have seen you talk about just how much fun and how what a good time you guys seem to be having up there on stage. And I'm wondering, is it possible to translate that aspect of what you do to the recordings that you make?
Well, that was what we were hoping to do, and we will leave it to others to judge. But yes, that was a lot of thought we put into that, because we are a live band, and we really worked hard with our wonderful producer Eli Wolf on how to get that energy into a listening experience.
Elizabeth, how did you do that? What kind of steps did you take to get that happy, good time stuff into your recordings?
Well, honestly, we started out, I think, it was definitely one of the bigger challenges. And I think ultimately, at least for me, what helped was thinking that each song has a core emotion, you know. Mm-hmm. A love song can be happy or sad. It has a core emotion and intensity to it. An upbeat song can be upbeat and frenzied, or it can be upbeat and really kind of, you know, tense. And each song has a DNA, and we thought, okay, what's in the DNA of this song that makes it captivate you live, and how do we keep that DNA in a recorded setting? And we, you know, it was really trial and error. There's some stuff that we thought would translate really, I mean, you know, we recorded a ton of stuff and whittled it down. Some stuff that we thought would play really well ultimately wound up not including on the album. And then some things we just found a way of putting it in a recorded setting that we were really happy with. And, you know, it's one of the many challenges and things that keeps it interesting is how do you do that? Why is this one, you know, this one, I don't know, Bessie Smith recording electric, and this other one is not often heard? You know, that's really the kind of the ineffable awesomeness of music is like, why have tracks lasted so long? Why have songs endured the way they have? And I think it's primarily because these songs, you know, these standards are so great. They capture something. And then beyond that, it's you have musicians bringing their musical obsessions to how they want to play it. And then you sometimes just have the magic of that day in the studio, you know?
Let me just point out the Hot Sardines will be here in Kansas City tomorrow night for an 8 o'clock performance at the Folly Theater. For tickets or more information, go to follytheater.org. And I want to thank Elizabeth Bougeral and Evan Palazzo from the Hot Sardines. Where are you guys right now?
That is such a good question.
You
looking
still
out
don't
the
know.
Window,
yeah.
There's snow. There's a lot of snow.
There's snow, and there's a farm.
All right.
Oh, there are some trees.
We left Des Moines this morning, and we're headed to Decorah. So we're somewhere in between those two.
You're still in Iowa. Well, thank you very much for taking some time. Good luck tomorrow night, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us. Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow night.